Today's Perek B'Tanach is Shoftim Perek Yud Gimel. And so we've just learned the story of the end of Yiftach and a brief interlude of Yiftzan B'Beit Lachem and Elon HaZevulani. And at the end, we had Avdon Ben Hillel, Piratoni. These people were apparently quite successful. Vayilu Arba'im Banim, we spoke about Shloshim Bnei Banim, Rochvim. The period seems to be a horrific period in terms of Avodah Zarah, continuing to do Ra, and yet there seems to be an enormous amount of patience on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas, I mean, in later generations, there was a constant flow of the view that this is the end, and it's just a matter of time, you know, for all intents and purposes, you're kaput. And over here, we just keep going back and forth, and there's this endless patience and so on. And the truth is that it's right here that the Pirkei of Rabbi Elazar, although the Medrash occurs in a number of places, we spoke about it before, in the Baruch of Yehoshua, there is something unique about Shoftim. And this is a very, very important yesod b'chlal in the development of Klal Yisrael. The klal is, says the Medrash, that the nation basically develops in the same sense that an individual develops. The period of the Shoftim is the period of school. Tinokot shel Beit Rabban. In the same way that we understand that Tinokot shel Beit Rabban are essentially belichet. What do you mean belichet? They do nothing but chet all day long. But the point is belichet in the sense of responsibility. We understand that this is a period of experimentation. You don't know what you're doing. We don't take it seriously. Pachot b'ben esrim. We certainly don't bring you before the Bezdin Shalmala, below the Yud Gimel Shana. You don't b'chol have any responsibility for what you're doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu views Yisrael during this period as Tinokot shel Beit Rabban. And therefore, what is clearly throughout the parsha description of almost a primitive pre-adolescent state is acceptable because that was the period of the development of the identity of a nation. So in the same way that individual identity develops across time, national identity develops across time, we could see this obviously happening from the Tkufa of the Aves, through the Tkufa of the, between the Aves and Yiras Mitzrayim. It's all about the development of what it is to be us. And therefore, there was a period in which everything was Tinokot shel Beit Rabban. The makor of this, strangely enough, is the story of Avdon ben Hillel ha-Piratoni. So because of the fact, what in the world did they do? That nothing is told to us in terms of schus, in terms of something that they did to battle. Did they battle? Did they destroy Avodah Zarah? Therefore, says the Medrash, look, you don't have to look for schus. Because Lamaisa, this entire period, is part of the bracha that Yoshua gave. Vayvarachotam Yoshua. The bracha was based on the complete commitment to the Brit and the ultimate growth. It's all potential. That's what children do. It's all potential. I mean, that's why we love youth so much. It's all potential. But as soon as they start getting a little bit older, they don't look so pretty anymore. But that's exactly the point. Up until this point, everybody does look pretty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of that initial potential, that kept them going for 300 years, says the Medrash. Now, there comes a point in adolescence where you begin to get interested in the other sex. And this is the point that we are at. And this, of course, leads us directly, developmentally. This brings us directly to Shimshon, which is all a story, not of a child in school, but of a mad adolescent. This guy is complete, right? I mean, it's amazing, right? It really comes across as pure testosterone. It's mamash shimshon. And not only that, but the Gemara darshins that was his bracha. His bracha was in terms of testosterone. So it's a very, very amazing, the placement of the story of Shimshon immediately after the story over here, which becomes the mocker of, well, they're just kids, so it doesn't really matter. But there's something more, even more stunning. And that is, we saw that the change between the tkufa of the Benot Slavchad Gzera, which we're going to see in the Gemara, doesn't necessarily apply to Benot Slavchad themselves as individuals. But the Benot Slavchad Gzera and its horrific implications that ended up in civil war. But the Gezera is viewing your Shevet as sacrosanct. And what's going to happen if the Nachala is going to go away from our Shevet? Somebody sent me an article just recently from South Africa in which the Beit Din was one of the Dayanim of the Beit Din says that the Misera of Lita is getting lost in South Africa. What's going to happen if Lithuania disappears and our children are given over to the Hashpa of all these foreign influences? How are we going to get Lita back? Literally. Right? So this was that period in which whatever Shevet you have is like, that is the reality. What are we going to do if anything? I mean, maybe somebody should have said, who cares? If the Nakba, who cares? What do you mean? What, that's a given. What do you mean? That's all there is the unity and the uniqueness and the, this is us. Okay? So that leads, of course, to pervergence, breakdown, in which you're taking something that's whole and you're tearing it into pieces. And that's exactly, as we said, what happens to Yiftach. Here's a whole man that falls in pieces. And it's just as Yisrael was falling to pieces because of this sense of it's not being a unified organism. So we move on to the story of Beit Lechem right away. Yiftach mi Beit Lechem, which is a rebbetz to Boaz and to Ruth and so on, because that's who it really is, according to Chazal. As a matter of fact, it's from this point on that chronology no longer even matters to us. We're going to see that we stop really going in the order of what events happened. And there's a very powerful reason for this. And that reason is given in terms of the change that I just mentioned. We are now beginning the true Tkufat HaShoftim, which is what we remember about it. And that is that it was the pre-Malchut, precursor to Malchut, of Ish HaYashar Be'enav Yaseh, the first guy to do what his eyes wanted, his Shimshon. And that became now the opening to Pelegish Begiva, really. In other words, the story of Pelegish Begiva may really have happened immediately after Shimshon, although it's pushed all the way to the end. Because this entire tkufa that starts with a Yashar Be'inai and ends with Isha Yashar Be'inav Yaseh, which immediately goes over into the next story of Sefer Shmuel and the creation of the Malchut, is, in fact, the story of developing adolescence into the integration of a full personality in terms of Malchut, with all of the experimentation and the difficulties that occur along the way, in which you settle on something and realize it's only something that you've picked up from elsewhere. You've basically borrowed your identity, which is Sha'ul, which means borrowed. That period changes gradually over the next centuries, and here is the transition point. And it's because of that that we're going to see that the Pusik is makbid to say he began. Never before do we say he began. You don't begin something. The Medrash points out, none of the Shoftim began something. They ended what they began. I mean, imagine Yoda saying, well, I'll begin. No begin, finish. That's exactly what he should have done. But the truth is, what he began was to be Moshiach from Plishtim. The Plishtim are a foil for Malchus. Remember that David becomes David because he completes the destruction of the Plishtim. The whole story that began with Ifsan, which is the story of Goliath. Goliath comes from Ifsan, essentially, because Rut and Orpah were basically in it together until Orpah decided he's heading over to the other side, and she gives birth to Goliath. So that means right away at the beginning of this tkufa, we know that the Plishtim are coming, we know that Goliath is coming, and we know that that is going to be the difference between Orpah and Ruth. Is it Goliath or is it David? So that until we get to David, we're still in the same storyline from Ifsan, which is when you see the overall structure, it's remarkable. Here, for the first time, the Plishtim come into action, and they never go out of action until David HaMelech, in that same area, we talk about Bein Sora uBein Eshta'ol, right there where it all started, David HaMelech has got to go back to the place where Dan began it. And this, of course, is the entire relationship between Dan Yadin Amok, Echad Shiftei Yisrael, Kim Yuchad B'Shvatim, like Yehuda itself. I wrote that whole Medrash, if you recall. Remember the Medrash term 30-some years ago. So one big piece is the interrelationship of Dan and Yehuda, which runs across everything. There's something in which we need to duplicate on an adolescent level in Dan that is actually done by Yehuda, which we'll talk about as we go along. But that means from this moment on, we are really dealing with Mashiach, with ultimate Geula. And therefore, says the Medrash, that what was Yaakov Avinu saying when he said, L'Yishuat HaKiviti Hashem? This is in Rashi. It's the partial meaning of what's L'Yishuat HaKiviti Hashem. Why is that in the middle of Dan? Because Yaakov Avinu saw Shimshon, was convinced he was Mashiach. So he was waiting for the end. Instead, it ends up being Vayachel, and then he dies. Kim and Shirah, what? Gamza mate? L'Yishuat HaKiviti Hashem. So in other words, the beginning of the story really contains within it all of the seeds of the ultimate story. And therefore, we switch now to the weirdest story in all of Shoftim, which is the story of Shimshon. And it's a story of very, very unique and detached people. Remember that Dan was not settled. Dan didn't have its place. And these were people that therefore expressed an individuality that was not expressed in the case of the other Shvatim and Shoftim. So Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asot hara b'inei Adonai v'itnei Adonai b'yad pelishtim 40 shana. So this begins the first attack and the first shlita of the Plishtim, and this went on for 40 years. Now let's listen to what went on during those 40 years. So, Vayi ish echad mitzorah, mimishpachat adani, ushmo Manoach. And so, it wasn't yet the period in which there could be an outright fight against the Plishtim. And we're going to see why this is true. This is a tremendous, tremendous historical issue because it goes all the way back to the Brit that was made between the Plishtim and the Ovis. So this is both Avram and Yitzchak, and this was all Be'er Sheva, the nature of Shavuot, which revolves around the relationship of Yisrael and the Plishtim centuries and centuries ago. I mean, the whole thing is wild, and that has to all be taken into consideration in the practical planning of Shimshon. What do I do about that Brit? That was a Brit of the Avot, not to harm the Plishtim. Yeah. And so it begins with a certain man, and an ish echad. That word echad is a very interesting word. It was one man. What do you mean one man? So as the Medrash points out, one man is always a lashon of gedula. This is a guy that stands alone, right? So that means already we're talking about somebody special over here. So there's a particular man, but it also says vayhi. Vayhi is always a lashon tsar. So that means we're starting on a period that's going to be a painful period. Ushmo Manoach. Now this guy's name is Manoach, and again, what's fascinating is that the Gemara explains the interrelationship of Ivtsan and Manoach. It's amazing. So what did it say by Ivtsan? Shloshim banim, shloshim banot. He made 120 simchas. Because he paid for the first Sheva Brachas, it was Me'av Ha'Esrim Smoke, and he buried every last one of them. Why? Because he didn't invite Manoach to the party. Manoach? What does Manoach have to do with anything? It's unbelievable. So in other words, there was a recognition all the way in the beginning of the relationship of Yehuda and Dan, and the way that the Malchus bounces back between them on some level. And Shimshon really does have the first Vayachal. It's all about beginning, as we'll see. Everything about him is about beginnings, not endings. Yeah, everything about Shimshon. So it was not bringing Manoach to that wedding, any of the weddings. And why didn't he bring Manoach? Because Manoach had no children and couldn't pay him back. And we start now with the story of Manoach having no children. Amazing. His wife was sterile, and she had no children, but they didn't know it was the wife. She, says the Medrash, always blamed him, as we'll see from Adiyak in what the Malach says. And one day, Vayera Malach Adonai al Haisha, Vayomer Eleon, he tells her, Inena Atakara, I'm sorry to tell you, but you are sterile. I mean, what do you got to tell her that for? You could just say you're going to have a son. Therefore, says the Medrash, no, that's the point. He needs to put things in their correct place, because the problems that existed between Manoach and his wife were based on her assumption that he was the one that wasn't able to have children. So he even says it in the Lashon of Noah, in which, I'm sorry to have to say this, but you are Akara. So now we're going to deal with that problem. So on the one hand, it was to be misaken the relationship between the man and the wife. But on the other level, of course, it goes all the way back to the story of the Imahis, the relationship of Tefillah to Leida, and the way in which the Chashivas of Leida is always expressed in those who are most committed to the process. So it's you, and it's you that needs now to be Mahapech the Din, and it's to you that we are responding. Viharit, Vialadit Bain. And you, what do you mean Viharit? You have conceived. Did she conceive? I mean, right now she conceived while she's talking to him? Says the Midrash, yes. Right now she conceived. So in other words, she was storing sperm, so they had had relations, but there was no conception. The moment that the Malach said, the Harit, that was the instant of conception. So now, right now you are pregnant, and you're going to have a son. Ve'ata hishamrina, I ask you, please, don't treat this child as if it's just part of you. It's not just part of you. Al tishtiyayin v'sheichar. You have to look at this as someone who's living in you and is being fed by you, and you have to therefore treat him right now as if he's already a separate entity. Why? Because he is a nazir. So you can't drink wine. You can't drink sheikhar. Ve'al tochli kol tamei, anything that's usher for a nazir, you mustn't eat. Because ki inach harav yaladet beinu mora lo yalel rosho, ki nazir Elohim yanar min habat. It's because now that hora that was given to you now, as I said to you, inach in this context. So you have been given, a child has been put into you, so to speak, milamala, and this is his din. He will be one, the double meaning of mora. Mora means a razor, but mora means fear. Mora lo yalel rosho, he will never fear anyone. is also the meaning. As a matter of fact, the reason that a mora is called a mora is because the one thing that your hair fears is the razor blade. V'hu yachel, oh boy, we already started. He will begin, but it will only be a beginning. Hu yachel lo shiat Yisrael miyat plishtim, and that's all it's ever going to be, is the beginning. So the boy is basically a beginner. V'tovo ha'isha. So the woman comes, v'tomer le'isha, she says to her husband, Lemor, Isha Elohim ba Eli. There was this amazing, powerful man who was clearly a man of God, a Navi. U'mar'ehu kamar'eh mal'acha Elohim. Norama'od was... It was frightening to look at him. Awesome. Because he was, in fact, I mean, we understand, as the Rambam says, once someone is on the Darg of Nevi'ahs, so his mind is really the equivalent of a Darg of a Malach. So she saw him as present. He was a Malach. She says he looked like a Malach. Now, that could mean he's a Malach, or it could mean he's, I mean, I'm not going to tell you he's a Malach. But she obviously understood. V'lo shel tiu, Amy Zehu, I didn't ask anything to him. I didn't ask where he came from. And he didn't tell me his name, Vetshmolo Yigidli. But what he did tell me, and she conveniently leaves out the part about being sterile, she was not about to admit that he said that. And she says, but he told me, Hinach harami oladet bein. V'ata al tishti yayin v'shechar, v'alto chli kol tum'ah, k'nezir Elohim yiyah nar min ha-beten ad yom moto. Now the truth is, in leaving out those words, she also, about her being sterile and this being a change in her and her relationship to this child, she actually reduced the interaction between her and the Malach and made it dependent on him. Because he didn't say anything about it's being no gay of me. Oh, so Manoah hears, well, she's been complaining all these years that I'm the one that doesn't have children. So this is a gift to me, but I didn't get the Nevi'ahs. I'm going to trust her to tell me what it is that the dinim are of the Nar, it's all about me. After all, the dinim of the Zeris are that a father can be neither his child but a Zeris. As comes out in the Gemara to be a tremendous machlokas. Is there such a thing as a Nezirut Shimshon? Because Maman Yomar says nobody ever made him a Nazir. The Malach said he's a Nazir. But there was never a din of saying he is a Nazir. So it's not a Dover HaNadar. So you cannot make a Nazir by saying Hareini Nazir Shimshon or so my child should be, because there's no such act as making a Nazir Shimshon. Which means that this was a defined state, remarkably, of that which is usually only capable of being achieved by words. And that's exactly where we're coming off of. Shema Tomar, that this is not an important issue. The name of the Malach, as we'll see, is Peli, which is exactly the word for Ishti Yafli. Right? And the Medrash points this out. Here he was the one who was making the, but he can't make a Neder, but he represents the nature of Neder, the emergent property of Nedarim. But nobody did it. So, comes along now this Ma. So he, of course, immediately takes this to mean, Manoach, that, well, this is my issue, not her issue. And therefore, he's very distressed. And so, Vayetar Manoach El Adonai, Vayomar, Bi Adonai, Ish Elohim Asher Shalachta Yavono Odoleno, Viorenu Manaseh Lenar Hayulad. I wasn't given over the information directly. I'm not going to trust the edus of a woman as to what the halach is. Maybe she left out stuff. Maybe she didn't understand it. Nashin daitan kales. How can you trust a woman still involved in this issue? And so therefore, vayetar, which is so ironic, because the lashon of vayetar is the lashon that we find by Yitzchak Avinu, melamed at the tefillah of tzaddikim, is ma'apich midas adin to midas harachamim. And we see exactly the same thing over here, melamed at the tefillah of Manoach was like an etter, a pitchfork, which was able to be ma'apich. But what was it ma'apich? Not the din, that there shouldn't be children. Ma'apich, like, all right, we'll let you know too. That's the most ironic thing you could possibly say. Here the man thinks he's been Isaac and changing the whole Gezera. And what's happened is we'll give you a phone call. And so what happens, instead of Manoach getting directly the Malach coming to him, Vayishmalu yibakol Manoach. You want instructions? Vayavo Malach alim od el ha'isha. It's an amazing story. We're not going to show up to you. We'll appear to the woman, the one you said you can't trust. So how about if we have a man-to-man talk? He goes back to the woman. It's so ironic, right? Okay, so again, you know, the simple meaning is, you know, to show him that she's chashev, and he should learn to respect her, and to be mashra shalom in the house. But obviously we're talking about issues that had been raised already by Yiftach. So here's Manoah, and there she is. She's sitting. She's out there in the sadeh. He's not even there. So what does she do? Yes, her name is the ring of the phone. This is all. That's her name. Slalfonit. The telephone ring. Yeah, that's her name. The Gemara says her name is Slalfonit. Unbelievable. Right? I mean, putting together rings and phones. She's the one, indeed, that always gets the phone calls. He was asking for it to be him. This is Ima Shel Shimshon Slalfonit Shma. Okay, so I mean, there's something very strange about that one. This is the first cell phone already. It's a classical ring. She's out in the sadeh, so it's got to be a cell phone. Umanoch isha enima, so her husband isn't there. So what does she do? She knows that he's going crazy, and he wants to hear the malach. So she knows, okay, all right, hold on a minute, I'll drag him out here. So she runs and tells her husband, he's back, the guy that we've talked about before. So vayokom vayelech manoch achare ishto, again, so ironic. Here's the guy who said, well, yeah, you know, I can't trust what she said. I got to hear this myself. In the end, the malach comes back, and from here, the Gemara brings Uriah. Can you imagine what a namaritz is? Walking behind his wife? Following everything that she says? I thought this was the guy who doesn't trust the woman. And now he's being Heilach Acharishtai. So again, it's Bachlokas. Does that mean he's Heilach Acharishtai physically? In which case, he doesn't know the halacha, ain't Okim Acharishtai Bashur. Or does it mean that he followed her every word of advice? In other words, everything changed as a result of this malach appearing to her again. So he goes after his wife, Vayavoel Ish. This whole thing is about men and women. Vayomel Hata Ish Asher Dibarta El Aisha. Are you the man who spoke to the woman? You know, the dust. You're the man who spoke to the woman. Vayomer Ani. I haven't changed. Yes, and I'm still talking to the woman. In case you haven't noticed. Vayomer Manoch, that's the measures of the diet. Aniu betchila, aniu besof, I haven't changed. Vayomer Manoch, so, atayavod varecha. Now we can have a real discussion to know all of the dinim here. So, we're taking this quite seriously now. You're talking to a man of understanding. Mayem mishpat hanaru maaseh. Oh, it's very simple, says the Malach. Just listen to what I told the woman. Great. What's your problem? She told you everything. I told her exactly what to do. If you need reassurance, I'm reassuring you. Do whatever she says. If you refuse to accept, I'll repeat it for you just so that you can get it straight in your weak mind. Mikol asher yetze migefen hayayin lo tochal, v'yayin v'shechar al tesht, v'chol tuma al tochal, it's all about her, what she can eat. Kol asher tzivitiha, everything that I commanded her, she should do. Are we clear about this now? Could we hold you up, please? And the Medrash points out a double lashon. Because, first of all, Atzur is a lashon of like a holiday. Atzur also means to hold somebody up in terms of birth. Atzur, Atzar, Ba'ad Korechem. And where? Back by the Plishtim, the Beit Avimelech, right? And so that was the first Atzira. But of course, there's another Lashon of Atzor, which means Malchus. Yatzor Ba'ami. So, can we hold you up for a bit, is the simple meaning. Can we party at this birth? Vayomer Malach Adonai El Manoach, Im Ta'atzreni Lo Ochal V'Lachmecha. I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish. V'Na'aseh Lefanecha Gedi Izi. So let's make a little party with a Gedi, because Ein Simcha L'Babasah. Not that he had any kavana to bring B'Shas Yisra Abba Meisa Korban. He was going to bring him a meal. Says the Malach, Im Ta'atzreni Lo Ochal V'Lachmecha. I will not eat of your lechem. Now, the truth is that the malachim that were sent to Avram Avinu pretended to eat. So what's he saying when I didn't eat? But why? I mean, there's no problem with the malach doing that. We saw this by Avram. Answers the Medrash. The malachim that were sent to Avram were sent to be guests. So the shlichus was to eat. Mamela, they could be midamien, they could simulate eating, because that's what we were shaluach to do. I am not here to be your guest. No, the first shlichut was to appear as orchim and let him present it to you. Then you present it to him. So that means included in the mission is being a guest and appearing like a guest. But this malach was never told. Yes, this malach was never told to be a guest. Therefore, if you want a party, I ain't going to eat. So if you want to bring a gediz in, im ta'ase olah, fine, Adonai ta'alena. Ki lo yada manoach, ki mal'ach Adonai. Obviously Manoach, and only Manoach, as opposed to the Isha, Manoach had no idea that he was dealing with a malach. We say the Isha is always makira b'orchim. She knows who she's dealing with. It's the man who always sees it in terms of what he expects. So he offered a gedizim. The malach, who thinks is a navi, is telling him al pi nevius azayrasha that he should bring up a korban at the shas isra b'omitz, which of course is called what? Isha yashar be'inav yaseh. That's the first Isha Yashar Be'inav. What? Lobata ad at elamenucha v'lanachala. So what type of things can be brought on a bama? Isha Yashar Be'inav. Okay, so he figures, all right, so then I have a tzivoy to do this. Vayoma manoach malach Adonai mishmecha. Could you at least tell me who you are? Ki yavo devarcha v'chidabnunucha. And we'd like to be mechabed you, so that we should bring you a gift, which is always losher. Ki chabed achabedcha. I will give you kavod, meaning I'll pay you. Now the Malach says, according to the Medrash, sorry, but we don't take payment for our shlichiyot. So this was a prepaid delivery. Thank you. And so therefore, Vayomelo Malach Adonai, Lama Zetish Alishmi. Why in the world would you ask my name? Vuhu Peli. Not one man of the Medrash says that's the point. Vuhu Peli is my name. Not that it's Pella, it's wondrous, it's unknowable, and so on. My name is Ish Kiyafli. So this is something that is emergent from your mouth, but you're not talking to an entity that would have a name in your sense. He still doesn't get the picture. So he takes the gift, the meat, the korban mincha, vayal al atzur l'shem shamayim. So he brings it now as a korban to Hashem. Umafli. Umafli. We're back again at that. How do you like that? Umafli lasot. And now this Malach starts doing all this. Everything just happens instantly. And Manoach v'ishto ro'im, they're watching this weird stuff that the Malach is doing, waving his hands, and everything turns into a korban, and the fire bursts out. And wow. V'hi ba'alot alav mi'al ha'mizbeach ha'shamayim. And there's this massive flame that comes out of the stone, goes all the way up to the sky. And there goes the Malach in the lav. V'yal malach adonai b'lav ha'mizbeach, which was rather impressive. Manoach v'ishto ro'im, v'yiplu ha'pneim arza. And at that point, it just disappeared. Which is one of the elements of Uhu Peli, means it's beyond you, because you'll never see me again. Why would you want to know my name? I exist now in this format. I won't be there again, and you'll never see me again. Az yada manoach ki malach Adonaiu. Note, it doesn't say the woman figured it out. It takes manoach forever to catch on. So then manoach figured it out. Oy vey, he says, vayoma manoach alishto mot namut. This is terrible. Ki Elohim Rahino, we saw his galus of the Shechina. Vatamala Yishtar, come on, you jerk. Lucha feitz Adonai la'amitenu. Lo lekach miyadenu olau mincha, v'lo har'enu et kol eile. V'ka'it lo ishmi anu kazot. I'm tired of this nonsense already. Enough is enough. If this was all a way to knock us off, it sure is a roundabout way. Why would he have taken the korban, and why would he have showed us these otot? And he certainly wouldn't have said that, well, you're going to have children. I mean, I plan to kill you tomorrow, but you'll have a child. It's crazy. But Taylor Aisha, Bain, and certain deed, she does have a child. Vatikrachmo Shimshon. And his name now, she calls Shimshon, Al Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara in Satan. Ki Shemesh Magen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemesh Magen. Shimshon, Al Shem Shmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So she saw him, Mamash, Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu is Shemesh Magen, so too Shimshon was Magen for Yisrael and his generation.
It just happened to be that
right here, Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh, exactly. Vayigdal ha-na'ar, vayivarachil Adonai. And so he grows up and God blesses him. God bless you, Na'ar. And the only way you can bless an adolescent is by giving him the right tools. And indeed, says the Gemara, what was his bracha? His genitals. He had the most fabulous ability to continue producing semen. So he may have been Bircho Ba'amato. He may have looked like a typical human being, but he sure had better equipment than most. The weirdest bracha in the world. But of course, that's all in line with this being a period of adolescence and him being the testosterone of Yisrael. Vatachal, we're back to Vatachal again. All beginnings. Vatachal Ruach Adonai Lefa'amo, and he begins to be shaken up. It's ringing like a bell. You know that kind of feeling. So there he was, b'machane dan. Of course, the only time tachal's of the pa'amon that goes off when you're in the machane is the parsha of Yifastor.
Pa'amon?
No, it's the same idea that the attraction that this, as the Orach Chaim explained, that basically the Balei Kabbalah explain all, that the attraction to the Yefas Tohar is the Ruach Elokim, because the person picks up on the true Yefas Tohar that is lost between the Umayyads, B'machane specifically. So B'machane Dan, Ben Sar'ah U Ben Eshta'ol, he begins for the first time to feel supernatural. So now he's turning into our first honest-to-goodness superhero, right? So what started off in Smallville, I mean, it gets really heavy when we come now to Shimshon. And this becomes the beginning, but only the beginning, of what will be. We'll continue. Somet Shimshon is the name that you have to turn on if you want to go to Bein Tzara, Bein Ashto.
What's the Nesirut in all?